Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and here we go. Tiffany Brent is a reporter from New Hampshire who has interviewed an air traffic control manager at one of the major northeast airports in the U.S., Will Thomas, an investigator who's been on this chemtrail thing forever from a reporting point of view and trying to get good, hard information. And I think Will believes that Tiffany has good, hard info, don't you, Will?
I do. We've got it tonight, Art.
All right. Let's not hold them, Tiffany. Let's do it. The first tape is just sort of, I guess, a kind of a setup piece for the second tape, right?
Yes, more or less. But there is some information on there that confirmed what we suspected, specifically the military operation.
All right, let's rock.
Okay.
Here we go, folks. Tape preparation sounds.
For the record, you work at a metropolitan area airport in air traffic control. In fact, you are a federal employee. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I am the journalist and radio personality that spoke with you via phone on Monday, March 12, 2001?
Yes.
Well, I would like to reconstruct our conversation of March 12, 2001 as near to the original as possible, with the exceptions of anything that might identify you, and the addition of a few questions that have since arisen in my mind. Is this agreeable to you?
Yes.
At approximately 12:55 p.m. on Monday, March 12, 2001, I called your airport's air traffic control tower, and I spoke directly with you, correct?
Yes.
I gave you my exact location, which you recognized, and informed you of what seemed to me to be an unusual amount of air traffic visible in our area. In fact, I told you that we were witnessing over 30 jets in less than an hour, mostly flying northeast to southwest, over 30,000 feet, did I not?
Yes.
And what do you remember as your answer?
I have relatives in that area, so I knew where you were calling from and what should be visible to you.
Do you remember telling me in that time span that you had 9 jets in or out of your airspace?
Yes.
Did I ask if you could see all the traffic on your screens that we were witnessing?
Yes, and I told you that we own everything to 10,000 feet, that we filter everything else out. We could see it if we chose to, but we don't unless we have something of our own coming in at that altitude.
And what altitude is that?
Over 30,000 feet.
And what do you remember telling me of international air traffic that would be visible to us, if any?
I said that there is an increase of international flights on Monday, and especially in the afternoon, and that you might be seeing international flights coming into Boston or New York.
Did you ask me if I'm usually in this area during the week or just a visitor?
Yes, I thought that you might not be used to the normal amount of air traffic that we have here during the week.
And I told you that I am here every day during the week and sometimes on weekends?
Yes.
So I am used to normal air traffic? Did I insist that this was not normal, that what we were seeing was considerably more air traffic than I can remember seeing here, even in the summer?
Yes.
Didn't I ask how it was that we could see so many jets, and whose air traffic was it, if not yours? That is, if you filter out most everything over 10,000 feet?
Yes, and I told you that Boston Center is in Nashua, New Hampshire, also Kennebunk VOR.
Boston Center being another air traffic control center in the Northeast?
Yes, the one that handles a good deal of traffic, including international flights.
And what is Kennebunk VOR?
It's a major navigational aid to international air traffic in the Northeast.
At this point, did I mention that my partner was outside the building, still counting several more jets in the air at the same time as we spoke?
Yes.
And what was your answer to that?
I said that that amount of air traffic in such a short span of time was unusual, even though you would see more international air traffic in the afternoon.
Did you mention to me that you had to reroute some air traffic?
Yes.
And why was that?
We had to bring in a couple in lower. That is, we had 2 from the northeast that had to come in under their usual altitude. They had to come in at 10,000 feet or under. We had Boston Center take 1.
So if I'm hearing this correctly, on March 12, 2001, you had a reason not to filter out everything over 30,000 feet?
Yes.
So you did see some, and I quote, stepped up activity yourself?
Yes.
Didn't you question that?
No.
Well, why not?
Because I had an explanation for that.
Did someone ask you to reroute your traffic?
Yes.
Who?
I can tell you that I received a call telling me what I had to do.
You mean reroute air traffic?
Yes.
You can't tell me who?
No.
Will you tell me why?
You are sure you'll keep my name and where I work out of it?
Well, you work at a major metropolitan airport in the Northeast in air traffic control. You did agree to allow me to say that.
Yes.
And I gave you my word that that is all I will say.
Okay.
So will you tell me why you were told to reroute your air traffic?
I was told that there was a military exercise in the area.
And did you tell me the military exercise combined with your traffic and international traffic is probably why I was seeing stepped-up activity?
Yes.
And you used the phrase stepped-up.
Yes, I probably did.
Did you say, of course, they wouldn't give you any of the particulars and that you don't ask, you just do your job?
Yes, something like that.
Well, since Monday the 12th, have we spoken?
Yes, a couple of times.
To set up this interview?
Yes.
Did I ask if you happened to notice an increase in air traffic on the 12th?
Yes.
And you said?
I did notice a little more than usual, yes.
In the last couple of years, can you recall any other times when you were asked to reroute air traffic?
Just a couple of times, maybe as much as four times.
Were you asked to reroute air traffic yesterday or today?
Yes.
Both days?
Well, I'd rather not say both days, but yes, I was.
For the same reason as Monday?
I have to be careful of my job. I have a family to support.
Well, I understand. You have helped me tremendously, and I won't do anything or add anything to the information that you have given me here in this interview today. I will not do anything to compromise the promise of anonymity that I gave you. But will you answer that one last question?
About?
Were you asked to reroute air traffic Tuesday and today for the same reason as Monday, the 12th of March?
Yes.
Thank you again for granting me this interview.
All right. All right, that's interview number one.
Yes.
And the big information comes in interview number two, but it all goes to the listeners deciding for themselves the credibility of what they're hearing.
Exactly. And the main reason why that tape was important is that he became curious about the amount of air traffic that I would see. And you'll hear in the second tape how he made a trip up here himself on a Monday to see exactly what we would normally see.
By the way, Tiffany, you'd be real good in depositions.
So I've been told. Thank you.
All right. Let's without delay, I'll tell you, you can hold the phone a little closer or turn up the volume a little bit.
Okay,
let's
we'll
go to the second critical tape. Same man, second interview, folks.
Yes.
Here we go. Go ahead, Tiffany. Go ahead and put it on. Once again.
And it's April 3rd, and this is a follow-up to the interview of March 21st, 2001, with my Deep Sky source. We've spoken with each other via phone, and we've met before, correct?
Yes.
When I called you to set up this follow-up interview, did you tell me about a trip you made on March 26, 2001, to my area?
Yes.
Would you tell me about that trip, why you made it, and what you observed?
I wanted to see for myself what air traffic would be visible to you on any given Monday from noon to 1 p.m.
And what did you observe?
I saw one jet flying at approximately 31,000 feet, traveling east to southwest. I also saw two smaller aircraft at much lower altitudes.
Did you mention something about traffic that might be visible to me from our local jet port?
Yes.
And how much traffic would be visible to me of the nine jets in or out of that jet port on March 12th?
Possibly one or two of those jets.
Would any international traffic be visible to me?
Yes, but a small amount.
Not the number of jets that I had witnessed on March 12, 2001?
No.
Which you told me were probably a combination of the military exercise and international traffic?
Yes.
And that was 30-plus jets in 45 minutes from 12:10 p.m. to 12:55 p.m.?
That is what you reported to me, yes.
But you've since proven to yourself that I wouldn't see much international traffic.
Yes.
You also saw a lot of activity on your screen on the 12th. You told me you witnessed stepped-up activity on the 12th, the 20th, and the 21st of March.
Yes.
And this was due to military exercises?
Yes.
Was there considerably more traffic on the 12th than there was on the 20th or the 21st?
Yes.
And would I be able to witness this activity from my location?
Yes.
Is it customary to reroute air traffic for military exercises from your tower? That is, does this occur on a regular basis?
No, not really. Not from my airspace, no.
But it might be from other areas.
That is possible, yes.
Well, is there a reason why you're still worried about your identity? Worried enough to have me alter your voice on the tape?
Yes.
And why is that?
I don't know how much I can tell you that you can record.
You mean this might compromise your identity?
It could.
Oh, I'll let that one go. Did you witness any radar anomalies due to the exercise? That is, was it degraded or maybe enhanced during the operation on March 12th?
Somewhat degraded, yes.
Was radar painting any kind of clutter or cloud in a clear sky?
Yes, there was what you might call a haze.
Would this affect flight safety?
That would depend on the density.
Was safety affected on March 12th, 20th, or 21st, 2001?
Not from my perspective, no.
Did your orders to reroute air traffic come from military personnel?
No.
Did they come from a higher civil authority?
Yes, but I can't tell you who, so please don't ask.
Are you aware of this happening in any other air traffic regions?
Yes.
On the same dates?
Yes, and other dates as well.
Many regions?
I wouldn't say many, no.
Some regions?
Yes.
What regions?
Well, one was south of my location.
Will you tell me where?
I'd rather not.
Were you told the type of aircraft that was involved in the military exercise?
Yes.
Were they tanker-type aircraft?
Yes.
Where did they originate?
I really can't disclose that information. It might identify me.
Okay. To your knowledge, did any aircraft cross into Canadian airspace?
That was what was indicated on my equipment, yes.
On March 12th?
Yes.
Do you know or were you told the nature of the operation?
Only after the fact.
When?
On the 22nd.
Of March?
Yes.
Was this a radar experiment?
Not that I was told.
Was this a weather modification experiment?
That approximates what I was subsequently told, yes.
Will you elaborate on that?
I'd rather not, no.
Okay, well, thank you again for agreeing to this interview, and as I promised, I will not disclose your identity for any reason.
All right, so there it is. Weather modification. He said it aloud.
Yes, he did.
Again, all right, Tiffany, two things. One, I joked, I said you'd be good in a deposition. You would. Those questions sounded as though they were absolutely prepared. I mean, you were just boom, 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 right there. Did you have those written up for him before the interview?
I had them written up for me before the interview.
That's right, that's right. Well, in preparation for him.
Yes.
So you knew exactly what you were going to ask.
Yes, I did.
Did he know ahead of time what you were going to ask?
I told him I wouldn't blindside him, that we would discuss, in the first interview, that we would discuss what we had already discussed on the phone when I contacted him at work. In the second interview, I said we're probably going
to... Wait a minute. That's critical. You contacted him at work?
In the first interview, yes.
I understand, but you, without question, Tiffany, you spoke to him. You know what you called. You called whatever air traffic control center it is that you called that we're not exposing here.
Exactly.
So you know doggone well he's not a put-on. He's a real employee is what I'm saying.
He's a real employee, absolutely.
Okay, that was very important. Will,
yes.
Comments, what do you make of all this?
I help prepare those questions, and these are key questions. And let's take a second, Art, look a little bit closer. One of the key questions was the radar return. There's been speculation that this was a radar experiment using barium to enhance radar, and we have been able to disprove that with his answer, that it actually degraded performance with a hazy-type clutter on the radar in weather that was a clear blue cloudless sky. That indicates to me very, very fine particulates of aluminum. Talcum powder-type clouds of aluminum would give you that hazy return. So I think we're really on the right track with our aluminum hypothesis here, and also the fact they've crossed into Canadian airspace makes me particularly angry.
Briefly explain to the audience why aluminum, just in case they didn't hear you the other night.
Sure.
Aluminum, so powdery, is virtual powder, and it actually polishes the engines of aircraft. That's what we were talking about last time. But why the aluminum? What do they think that will do to our weather? What is the theory?
It is the theory put forward by Dr. Edward Teller in the Lawrence Livermore Lab, which actually ran computer models. And the International Panel on Climate Change, which verified these models, says that if you put up 10 million tons of aluminum particulates, very fine particulates, it will reflect up to 1% of incoming sunlight and chill out global warming that is now almost in a runaway condition. Now, the military, of course, has been using aluminum chaff, big tinfoil-sized pieces of aluminum, to jam radars for many years. That's why fine particulates will give a hazy return without interfering to the point where it would degrade
safety.
All
right. So I now see where your preparation of these questions came into play for Tiffany's interview. You wanted to see if there was any degradation of the radar that you believe would be produced, and probably would, by a powder-type substance, aluminum. That's exactly, so he gave the exact answer that would support that theory.
Yes, he really confirmed that theory. He nailed that down. And here's something that's very important for our listeners tonight. When an agency wants to modify weather, according to NASA, they introduce very, very fine particulates into the atmosphere. These particulates act as nuclei. Water vapor condenses around them. It forms clouds. It forms precipitation. I'd like to go back to Tiffany in just a second and talk about what happened to their weather on and after the 12th. And we're talking fatalities here.
All right, we're very,
as well.
Very short on time. Tiffany, what did happen to the weather?
Well, I can say that after they sprayed on the 12th, we had a very large snowstorm, and in mid-March, that's a little unusual for Maine.
Mm-hmm.
But worse yet, since it has become spring, we had two snowstorms that equaled almost 4 feet. So since the 20th, we have had two snowstorms that were quite large.
All right. Tiffany, I want to. We've got to begin summing up here. This gentleman, then, we know through you firsthand to be who he says he is.
Yes.
You know that for certain, and at least as far as that goes, you're staking your journalistic reputation on the fact that he is who he says he is, at least that much, right?
Yes, I've called him at work a few times, yes.
Uh-huh. Do you think it likely that he will give you any more? I mean, he flatly said weather modification.
Yes, he did.
Do you think he will give you or knows any further details that he'd be willing to talk about?
We're going to try and find out where they originated. I believe he knows that.
In that interview, Tiffany, did you stop at the point where he said weather modification, or did you probe without success further?
I stopped at that point because I knew that he was getting into an area where he was very nervous. He more than chain smoked both interviews.
Uh-huh.
And his hands were shaking.
Okay. Will Thomas, other media are going to be interested in this. I think best we give out one set of contact information, Will, and why don't you go ahead and give that out so other media can contact you.
Okay. My website with full documentation and an updated press release, lifeboatnews.com. Media can reach me by email, Will Thomas, one word, Will Thomas at TELUS, T-E-L-U-S, .net. Art, I've sent out over 100 press releases to major newspapers, radio, magazines throughout the U.S. and Canada. I have gotten one response. I am urging all listeners tonight, go to your local media, local and national media, and insist that they cover this story.
All right. Well, now you've got a little something to cover, at least.
Yes.
Will Thomas, that's W-I-L-L-T-H-O-M-A-S, right?
Yes.
At TELUS, T-E-L-U-S, .net.
Correct.
Tiffany, are you going to pursue this with this deep sky, we'll call him?
I will be speaking with him tomorrow morning, first thing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Are you going to pursue the weather control angle with him and try and find out how much more he knows?
Yes, and I'm also going to try and find out if he does know, which I believe he does, where these jets originated.
Uh-huh.
Art, we're talking the mother of all class action lawsuits, and I'm not kidding. We are in touch with two attorneys as we speak tonight.
Well, then you're probably also in the middle of the mother of all dangerous situations, from my point of view.
No, we've gone public, and that's the safety. I talked with ST earlier today. We were going to sit on this, and I said it's too hot. We're going to go public, and that really is our safety here. I feel under no physical threat whatsoever.
All right. All right, then I want to thank both of you, Will and Tiffany, and
we'll look
forward to any further follow-up on this, but it's the first person that's ever said anything like that.
Yeah, I've gathered because I could not get any information from anyone else.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Thank you, Art. Thank you, SC.
Thank you.